Welcome to the Pixels and Dice podcast, where every week our crew of intrepid dipshits blather on about all manner of gaming topics, as if they actually have something useful to say. Really, it is just the worst when it comes to podcasts, but here's an idea. Turn it into a drinking game. Every time they say something stupid, take a drink. But seriously, don't do that. Your liver will thank you.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Bayless.
And today, well, it's our first of the month show, so it's, hey, let's talk about stuff we missed during May.
Sounds awesome.
Yay. Woo-hoo, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Except for nobody's
maybe not
here.
Happy, but, you know.
Oh, but there's stuff to talk about this this month. Oh,
there
yes.
There is, actually.
Most months, there's nothing to talk about, but no, there we got a nice little discussion going on today.
Yes.
First of all, let's get out the small stuff. Yay. WoW Classics in beta. Ooh.
I don't know. Of all the different iterations of WoW, I still feel the early game, you know, the vanilla stuff, was so much better than what it was when I quit.
Oh, yeah.
It's all the little nuances, you know, like I just remember, you know, like the building up of skills, all the different, you know, having to have all the different weapons leveled up and having to, you know, do all these little stupid little things. Everything you did mattered.
Yeah. You know?
And now it's like, it's glossed over. Instead of having to buy all your spells, they're just given to you.
Sure. But,
so.
Somebody in chat on my last live stream we were talking about WoW Class. And I was saying how they'd asked me if I was going to do that. And I'm like, no, I'm not coming back for WoW Classic and all. Because why would I give Blizzard money again? And they said they were going to come back for it. And the reasoning was they pay $15 a month and they know exactly what they're playing.
Uh-huh.
There will be no expansions. The game will not change. It will be this. Period. There may be bug fixes.
Right.
But these are the systems. Exactly what they'll be playing. These are the dungeons. Exactly what they'll be playing. And if they run out of content, oh no, they'll make an alt. And they will play this game as long as they enjoy it.
And I'm all for that.
And I can't argue against it. I think it's perfectly reasonable.
Uh-huh.
I don't see myself doing that, but...
No. If I didn't have to give Blizzard money every month, I'd go back because I had fun.
Yeah.
I always had something to do. It was after, like, Wrath of the Lich King when things turned sour.
That's exactly where my chat, they were like, yep, Wrath of the Lich King, after Wrath. Wrath and before, fine.
Uh-huh.
I had to ask them, let's not talk private servers now, guys. Not in open chat. But anyway, the beta is out. Yay! You're probably not in it.
Nope.
I'm not in it. What a shock. I didn't get an invite. But I am a streamer. And I do YouTube. I have in the past years. And... that's pretty much who's getting the beta invite.
I did find by watching some of these streams that Asmongold is a bitch. I mean, I thought he was amusing for the first like stream that he did.
Yeah.
And after that, it's just like, I can't take this guy anymore. I'm done.
I sat there and I watched his show and I'm like, you know, I'm not trying to trash other streamers, but wow.
No, he's a narcissistic bitch.
He's getting rich off of a shtick I did 10 years ago. Okay.
He just does it better than you, that's all.
No, I think I was better. I just didn't long. I didn't get the... I wasn't on Twitch. You know? But it's neither here nor there. Apparently he's a good player.
Not that I've seen.
I don't think highly of his personality. But that's just
me. I watched him, they were doing a raid, and he's constantly pulling extra mobs and then blaming people. Oh, that wasn't me. Shut up. Jesus.
Oh.
Tiny little bitch.
We knew someone like that.
Yeah, that's why it bothers me.
Yeah. I work with him to this day. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, so yeah,
yes.
That's what's up with WoW. Be excited or not, I don't care. What else do we miss in May that was something worth talking about?
Well, Guild Wars 2 has a, their final living story for the season is coming out. And of course, that comes with a new mount. They have the Skyscale. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. You don't care.
I really don't. Oh, I could make your eyes glaze over right now. Lord of the Rings Online has an update coming out soon. And update 24 is going to have a complete revamp of the virtues.
Huh?
Exactly.
Were you talking? All I heard was Latro, and then it just kind of fell asleep.
Like I said, eyes glaze over. No, what I was thinking about was the Epic Store.
Oh, the Epic Fuck-Up Store.
No. We ought to call it that from now on.
Well, what kind of a business professional do they have running that whole platform? Because whoever it is needs to go back to school. You don't piss off the people you paid all this money to get exclusive rights to their games, and then you just absolutely shit on them.
Yeah.
Under the pretext of, woo, we're having a sale, and you're not going to have to spend any money because we're going to cover that discount we're giving on your game.
See, here's the thing. Let's step back a second. This was,
of course,
in response to the summer sale from Steam.
Right.
Every year, Steam has this massive sale, so Epic wanted to beat them to the punch and have this big, huge sale where, what was it, nothing's going to be over $20 or something. It was some ridiculous freaking sale.
Well, they were giving a 10% or a $10 discount on top of whatever discount the game was putting on.
Yeah, but it was basically cutting down cheap games virtually nothing, and
yeah,
giving a huge discount really on these big upcoming games, you know, the full price ones, the ones that are in pre-order, all that. And that's great for the end user. That's really awesome.
Oh, it was fantastic for the customer,
and that's the whole point. It was to try and steal people away from Steam. Come buy off the Epic Store, you know, oh, we're so awesome. But they didn't consult their publishers, you know, the game development companies first.
Uh-huh.
So you've got companies that are putting out Epic Game X, and they've signed an exclusive with the Epic Store for PC. But
right.
They're also coming out on console.
Uh-huh.
And so the companies that do this routinely have a contract with...
Oh, you have to have a contract.
Microsoft.
Non-competing contract?
Yeah. So they've signed on with Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony. That they're going to keep all the prices the same on all platforms for X amount of time. Let's say 3 months.
Sure.
Well, it's pre-order mode. They haven't even come out yet. So they're selling pre-orders for the consoles. They're selling pre-orders for PC through the Epic Store because they signed an exclusivity deal with them. And everything's right with the world until suddenly their game is now selling for $40 on Epic. And you've got Microsoft, Nintendo, and Sony, three really large and powerful companies going, hey, Game Developer X, knock, 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 why did you breach our contract? Why are we having to sue you? Why did you do this? And they go, we did what? All because the Epic Store, Epic Games, decided, hey, it'd be a great idea, and we'll be able to get all this fan loyalty, and everything will be awesome, and, oh, we breached three contracts for all these developers we signed exclusivity deals with that are doing console as well? Oh. Well, we didn't sign those contracts, so yay!
Yeah.
Oh my god. The hubris. The utter fucking hubris.
I just think it's, you know, yeah, it's awesome for the customer, but the game companies are losing their freaking minds because they didn't take into account that they still have to, once the sale's over, try and sell this game for $60. But then there was that huge sale, and so the value of the game just went right down the shitter.
Yeah. So now all these people that were going to buy, that already, let's say they bought the pre-order before the sale at $60. And now they're going, wait, we're going to drop that pre-order and re-pre-order again at the cheaper price.
Yep.
Or afterwards, that they didn't pre-order, but they're like, oh, it just came out at $60. But I saw it was selling on the Epic Store for $40 or whatever a couple weeks ago. Huh.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'll wait until it comes back down again.
Yep, exactly.
Or all these console places going, well, I'm going to go buy it on PC because why would I buy it on console?
Right, because, I mean, it's so much cheaper on PC.
Or worse yet, it's a small indie game. They were going to sell it for $15 on all platforms. Now it dropped down to just a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Let's say it got dropped down to $5 on the Epic Store. Oh, great. Awesome. Now, not only are they, you know, they have to deal with these PC players waiting until it drops in price again, thinking it's not worth the $15 that it was going to get sold for.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there must be a reason it got cut in price. They don't even think. Now they've got Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony coming to their door going, why did you breach your contract? And they get sued just as hard. And they don't have the resources of an EA or a Bethesda or some other big company that can at least defend themselves in court. No, you've got tiny Joe Smo company who put out their little game, which was worth $15 on all platforms. But no, now they're screwed. No way about it, screwed. And what is Epic going to do about that for them?
Not a damn thing.
Exactly.
Because it's not their problem.
Right. And I just, oh God. I mean, I didn't have a problem with the Epic Store before. Because, I mean, you know, if they're stupid enough to put out a store with no
features?
Yeah. Well, you know, multiple features, but just basic ones like a cart.
Yeah, if you don't have a cart that you can put in more than one item at a time. How many people got, they got temporary bans because they bought multiple games?
They tried to take advantage of the all the great sales, so they'd buy a game, do the transaction, buy a different game, transaction. Buy a different game. Hey, what happened to my account? Well, you, we thought it was fraud because people, you're buying multiple games when you don't normally buy them. You fools are running a sale.
Uh-huh.
Well, you should have just, like, what, use a cart? You don't have a shopping cart. Oh, well, we're going to have it within a year.
Doesn't help me now.
Are you, how do you not have a shopping cart?
I know. The sound of all of these people who were going to the Epic Store, going back to Steam, you could hear it all around the world.
Hey, why is my Steam platform suddenly making this thunderous roar? It's like there's a stampede coming this way.
Yeah.
Oh no, there's suddenly lag on the store from all the people returning. Yeah. I just... Wow. The hubris and stupidity behind Epic, and I like some of Epic's games. I do.
Well, I don't mind them having. They bought up a lot of really good titles.
Sure, but even beforehand, they had some interesting. They were a good platform, and I didn't mind what they did. You know, let's look at Gamigo Tryon. You know, they have their own launcher.
Right. A lot of people do.
You can buy games. Their launcher. A lot of companies do. I mean, there's the Arc launcher for Perfect World, where you get the cryptic games, you know, like Star Trek Online and Champions Online and Neverwinter.
Right.
You know, you can do that. You can do the EA's Origin, and you can buy games through them. If Epic had just done that, had their own launcher, which is basically what they did. Fortnite, they had some other games in there. Great. Awesome. Develop that out. Put a shopping cart in. Put the little features in before you try to fight Steam. Hell, before you try to fight good old games. If you can't even put in the same freaking resources that GOG has into your launcher.
Yeah. You shouldn't be putting it out.
I'm not saying that GOG doesn't have features. They do. But they recognize they're not Steam.
Right.
They're not trying to be Steam. Well, in a little way, but they have the features to support it.
Uh-huh.
I have such a headache over how the stupid is.
Yeah. A pretty strong amount of stupid there.
But yet, even they can't match what is probably the biggest news that came up in May.
No.
And this is something you wanted to talk about, and I'm going to let you take the lead on this one because, oh my God, we're going to have a discussion about it. That's all I got to say. Please. Well,
basically, I was just kind of like bopping around the internet when I noticed that one of our government officials is actually doing something that, you know, I can get behind. He's trying to get the loot box ban going in America again. He wants to get it legislated so loot boxes are outlawed in the United States. And by loot boxes, they have specified that this is loot boxes that are predatory, as in if you spend X amount of money to get these loot boxes or the keys to open these loot boxes, you have a chance, a very tiny chance of getting this epic sword or this awesome armor. And so people are throwing good money on this really tiny chance of getting this great gear. And for the most part, they're getting crap. That is gambling. And there is no age requirement behind to buy this stuff. So you're basically allowing kids to gamble is his take on it. So he's trying to enact an all-out ban on loot boxes that have anything other than cosmetics. And this includes, if I remember right, things that add, you know, speed up the time for crafting or speed up the time in, you know, required to gain whatever effect you're trying to gain.
Well, for examples of that, like I know in Lord of the Rings Online, I don't know if they're in their loot boxes. I don't buy the coin keys to open up their loot. But especially when I can sell them on the auction house to other people. But no, I know in their store, but what's in their loot boxes is often on their store. You can buy stuff that will speed up crafting, buy stuff that speeds up the ability to go out and do your Slayer deeds. I'd mentioned the virtue system before. I know you're glazing over again, but Slayer deeds let you go out, you kill X amount of creatures, then you kill twice that many, get the advanced version of the Slayer deed done, and when you're done with that, you get a point in a specific virtue. Yay! Well, they're revamping that, so you can actually just get virtue points in the experience points for you pick. Regardless, whatever, doesn't matter. Point is, what was my point?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. No, they have things that will allow you to, instead of when you kill one creature, counts as one creature killed. No, this gives you, it counts as two. So it makes it take half the time. So if you go out there and you're just killing like crazy, you can get that done in half the time. Which is great, because grinding Slayer deeds in Lord of the Rings Online is a punishment from hell.
I thought that was just playing the game in general.
Ow. You know what, sir? That was rude and uncalled for.
Yes, but well-timed.
Yes. Regardless. That would be some sort of thing you're talking about. Also, of course, the nice little jump ups that will go, hey, you could take your level 5 or level 10 or whatever character and boost it up to almost end game level.
I don't really care too much about that.
You know,
I think level boosts are stupid, but eh.
I've used them once and I bought an expansion in Lord of the Rings Online. Actually, I've used them in Guild Wars 2 several times. In Lord of the Rings Online, I got one as part of the Mordor expansion. And I used it on my favorite minstrel! Who I then went, oh, yeah, okay, I don't know anything anymore. This character is now, you know, 50 levels higher than when I last played it. I have all these abilities that I don't know what I'm doing with, and I don't know the area I'm in. I'm completely lost. I think I'll level a new minstrel.
Uh-huh. That is the biggest problem behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Is you're not intimate with the benefits of the character at, you know, now that it's leveled up.
I mean, you're skipping so much content. It's insane. Oh, but I've done all that content before. Great. In World of Warcraft, used to be, I don't know if it still is, but when they first introduced the ability to skip all those levels and level up to like 10 levels below cap for the new expansion, when they introduced that, the only way you could do it was if you had already leveled a character up cap.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, okay, now you can buy this and do it. But you had to have done all that content beforehand.
Right, they didn't want you skipping content.
Well, these other things, many other games allow you to do that, and it's stupid. But that's neither here nor there. They're wanting to ban all this pay-to-win stuff and loot box stuff. When it comes down to the loot box stuff, I'm totally for it. I love what Belgium has done, and a bunch of these other European companies has said, no, Skinner boxes, which is what these are gambling. not want our children gambling. Therefore, they are banned in our country.
Uh-huh. I agree with that completely.
And this also goes down to even things like card packs in digital versions of like Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can go out and buy packs, booster packs and whatnot. That's going to severely affect them because every time you do that, you are effectively buying a loot box.
Yes, you are.
I don't know how these companies are actually going to even survive anymore. These games.
No, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to say, okay, these are what come in this pack. If this interests you, it's X amount of currency. They're not going to have any random nature to it. You know what you're getting when you buy it.
Okay, so basically what you would do is you would just hit the thingy and go, pack. This is it has these cards. I don't want that one. Move to the next one. It has these cards. Next one. And wow.
That's the only way they're going to get around it, because if you have any kind of random nature and this chance of getting this epic card, that's gambling, because you're taking the chance with real money to get X card.
Sure. But the thing is about, you know, and it's a little bit of an aside, but these games like Hearthstone and especially Magic the Gathering Arena, Artifact, and whatnot, they're built around the idea of, just like the games in the real world, you buy a pack of, a sealed pack, and you have, you're supposed to get one rare, X amount of uncommons, and mostly commons. It's a random chance, what, 15 cards in a Magic the Gathering booster pack?
Yeah.
And so you take a chance. You open them up, you get, oh, cool, I got this rare, which is worth $20. Or, oh, I got this rare that is basically an uncommon, but it's rare because of its supposedly, you know, I just had to have the bad luck of getting 12 of them.
Yeah.
You know? So, that random nature, in what are they going to do in real life? Are they then going to go and ban Magic the Gathering?
They might.
I mean, that's kind of a side consequence of this, but that's neither here nor there.
It's a potential side effect.
There's also, I've been hearing talk, when they keep mentioning this, you know, legislation, which, to the point of this recording, just before June, actually the start of June now, it hasn't actually gone through, and I don't know if it will. But they also mention banning loot boxes and pay to win.
They haven't given us any kind of idea of what they're thinking of when they talk about pay to win, because pay to win is a really broad stroke.
Exactly. Pay to win.
So it's hard to say whether or not this is good or bad without further information,
right,
which they're not giving us yet.
It's very subjective. And in the pre-show, we actually talked a lot about this, how if they go, well, it also bans all pay to win. Well, what does that mean?
Okay.
I mean, pay to win could be like the Eastern MMO I tried out one time where level one, straight off the beach. I mean, literally, you're on a beach killing, I think it was crabs. And
don't date her again.
God. So you're sitting there fighting these monsters, and you're level one, and you're struggling with them. And it would go like, pop up, hey, would you like to spend some money and buy something from our store? We have this awesome gear for sale for you. And it has this amazing, you know, it's all kinds of different gear, but it has this amazing gear, which turns out to be end game gear that you could buy down your credit card number and buy it. And then I'd be a level one or probably level two by that point character in this massive end game gear. able to fight and destroy anything in my path. Well, that's great. But the main reason I didn't do it, because first of all, foolish, but secondly, isn't that the point of Endgame?
Uh-huh.
Why would I play anymore if I've got the awesome gear? Then I'm like, all right, I kill everything, and now I'm at Endgame, and now everyone has the gear I have. I've just been using it for a lot longer, and, okay. What is there to play for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for the fun of it, right?
Except your game is a grind fest. There is no fun.
Yeah. Anyway, so they could mean that. And all right. But as we discussed, how is that harming anyone? I know we talked about Rift, and I keep hearing Rift is, oh, it's pay to win. Why? Because they sell gear in their store. Yes. They sell world gear, which is really good gear that you can get in the open world. They sell dungeon gear, expert gear as they call it, which you can get from dungeons. And they sell raid gear. And just recently I had somebody in my chat on my stream going on about how you could buy the top end game in the gear in the game. Actually, no, you can't. If there's the newest raid is the assault on Peter Sandwich or whatever. If that's the top end raid, well, the most you can buy is gear that you can get from the assault on Peter's cup of milk. A raid before it. So if it's tier 4 raid is the highest raid in the game, the best you can buy is tier 3. The idea being, you get yourself to end game, and you don't want to try and get groups to raid tier 3, get you the gear so you can be ready for tier 4. You just want to raid tier 4 with your friends and buy the gear from tier 3. Which, first of all, is stupid in two ways. One, don't know how to play the game. Or your character. And two...
And two, you're grinding for something you already have.
Well, no, you wouldn't have it. Because you haven't done tier 3. Tier 4 is better gear. Once you have tier 3... You'd then want to replace it. But the main reason you wouldn't want to do it is point two. You know how expensive these things are?
I mean, they got to make their money.
You have to pay cash by the in-game currency used on the store, which is already, you know, it's not dollar for dollar, penny for penny, depending on if you buy it on sale or whatever, you can get better deals, but whatever. You got to buy all this in-game store currency. Let's say gems for Guild Wars 2. It's just easy.
Right.
Everyone can think of, okay, you buy some money and you buy some gems. Awesome. Now you have to spend those gems to buy this gear. And this gear, with all the little things you toss onto it to then upgrade it to its highest ability, depending on what you're buying and how... whether you're upgrading it or not, costs hundreds and hundreds of dollars. One piece of top-end raid gear from the store, which is actually one tier below the actual top-end gear, was about $200. Fully kitted out. For a piece of gear. Let's say gloves. Are you going to spend... then over $1,000 to get your whole setup fully kitted out just so you can go raid and immediately replace it?
Depends upon how pathetic you are.
See, that's where they call, oh, it's pay to win. No, it's pay to show you're incredibly fucking stupid, but I don't have a problem with people buying this gear. By all means, please keep my game healthy and running. I love it. spend your stupid ass money to go and waste it. Feel free. Yes,
but I don't think they're trying to stop that. I think they're trying to stop people from being able to get the best game or best gear in the game.
Right.
Without any kind of level restrictions or any other kind of restrictions. It's just, hey, if you've got the money, you can have the best in gear.
Right.
That was the best in slot kind of gear.
That's that first example I gave, the Killing Crabs game. But the point is, I could see the difference. And but the point is that there are people who call both of those pay to win.
Uh-huh.
And in my opinion, Rift is not, with one exception, PvP, because that's the only time you're truly competing against another player.
Well, there shouldn't be any kind of gear available to improve PvP.
Right.
PvP should either be skill-based only, where everybody's gear, when they step into it, is equalized. And so it's just the skill of the player involved.
Yeah. Doesn't Guild Wars 2 do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing is if you're going to have different gear so people can have different builds, then if you come in with this Uber gear, it gets down leveled to be, on par with everybody else.
Right.
That's fine. But if you're going to be able to go into a PvP setting with something that makes you that 2% better than everybody else because you paid money, that's pay to win and that's BS.
Sure. Now, I would also argue that, first of all, PvP does not matter.
That's my opinion, too. But a lot of people, that's what they live for.
Exactly. That's fine. I know a guy who just signed up for Rift when I was, he re-downloaded it. He already had an account. But one thing he mentioned in chat during my stream last night was he couldn't wait until he could do some PvP. That's great. People love that. Good on them. Awesome. And I totally understand where they're coming from when some jackass whips out his credit card and buys this awesome raid gear right after they hit cap, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, some other, like me, I jump into a PvP battle and all I've got is quest gear. Thinking, hey, I've hit endgame. I'm not going to raid or do dungeons, so let's go see what we can have fun with. Oh, I'm dead. All right, well, I'll respawn and jump back in there and, oh, I'm dead. Huh. Why does that happen? Oh my God, that is a living God. How is it in here? Why does it keep killing me? I guess I won't do PvP after all. I totally get that idea. That mindset, that would be where that is truly pay to win. But that's the game's fault. That's the developers not going, hey, jackass, you bought all this awesome gear, which we put on the store for one reason, to make it easier for you to raid at the next tier. Anytime someone jumps into PvP, they will be immediately placed in the PvP uniform. All gear is exactly the same.
Yes, and it should be that way.
Or you're wearing some armor, but it has literally zero stats. All you're playing with is your class abilities and your skill. That's
yep,
it.
Yep, yep.
Oh, but I spent $1,000 on this awesome gear. Why don't I get to show it off? Go raid, you jackass. That's what you were supposed to buy it for.
Well, anyway. And they could do like a lot of PvP games do. Is if you have your PvE gear and you have your PvP gear, and the PvP gear has a special stat that makes it, it's absolutely critical to have this stat maxed out, or at least as maxed out as you can get it. But the PvE gear doesn't have that at all. So yeah, you've got this awesome PvE gear, and when you step into PvP, you get owned because you don't have all those, that awesome stat to make you, to give you survivability in a PvE or PvP setting.
Oh, should we? Survivability is such a, I don't know if that word really fits. Resilience. Resilience is the word you're looking for, isn't it?
Yes, because that was WoW, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. This was already tried, and it failed horribly. Because you had raiders who were raiding only for one reason. So they could get this awesome gear and then beat up, or basically go seal clubbing on PvPers who had lesser gear. So they got all angry and said, we're not going to raid anymore, because we are butthurt morons. And then you had PvPers who said, this resilience gear is okay, but we can't raid with it because it has lesser stats. And we were PvPing to get a way to raid because we're antisocial jerks who don't want to do dungeons and heroics and the lesser raids beforehand. So everybody on either side hates themselves and others. In short, the system didn't work.
Well, that's because people want shit that they shouldn't be getting. Screw them.
Would you like to ask me one of the main reasons I quit doing PvP in WoW? It just happens to be when resilience gear was introduced.
I hated PvP in general. Didn't care what game.
Yeah. Hey, if y'all haven't noticed, we're going late on purpose. There's just too much to bitch about today. May's been a good month for news. It really has. I mean, going back to the WoW briefly, there was massive fixes being shown for World of Warcraft.
Well, BFA's been a hot mess for a while.
BFA should just be called Abject Failure. But
yeah,
8.2 is supposed to be introducing the newest raid, some other stuff, and they've basically a bunch of things coming out that are supposed to make the game much better, much more playable, give actual purpose to stuff, and make you not... You know, take some of the grind out and make it less annoying.
Basically, people will stop banging their heads against the wall and cursing Blizzard's name.
Well, you know, forcing people to do content they don't want to do because it's not fun. You know, the reason you quit.
Yeah.
So the problem is that Blizzard, I think, are going to find that. Even though I see all these videos about how awesome 8.2 is, it's too fucking late.
All those videos about how great 8.2 are mostly done by people who are working in conjunction with WoW.
It's the main thing behind their channel.
Most people who aren't affiliated with Blizzard in one way or the other, they're like, it's okay. I can see what they're trying to do, but you know, they're just not impressed.
Yeah. Now, I've been asking my chat, and I know I don't have a whole lot of people in chat in my live stream, but I've been asking people who are just regular players, you know, what they play, you know, what they're wanting to do, that sort of thing, what they enjoy. And mostly it's the game that I'm showing off because that's why they're there, because they want to, other than the regulars that come around, they're wanting to see somebody playing their game. Like last night I was playing Rift. So I had people that were interested in Rift. And I had people coming in, at least one, who said he had just recently come back to WoW because that's what he wanted to play. He was interested in that, especially in the PvP. And that's great. Good for him. He's the only one. I've seen some people that are, someone else said that they were going to come back when Classic comes out in August, because they're willing to pay their $15 a month to play WoW Classic and completely ignore the main game, which I'm going to find hilarious to see how many people they're tracking. Because you know Blizzard's going to go on about how, oh my God, we just got this massive boost of players. There's so many people playing WoW right now. How many
of them are on the Classic servers?
Yeah. How many are playing Classic? Well, several million. How many are still playing the main game? Well, we don't give out those numbers. Exactly. They'll just say, well, they're playing both because they're paying their subscription for WoW. It doesn't matter which servers they're playing on. Actually, it does. It absolutely does. It matters
a huge amount.
Yes.
Because, one, people are responding to getting something they've been asking for years. Things that people had to make their own private servers to get it. And now that they can get it through Blizzard, Blizzard shouldn't be allowed to go, well, hey, we've got so many million people playing WoW and leaving it at that. They need to break it down. We've got X number of players playing Classic and a few hundred thousand, if that, playing WoW now.
Well, to be fair, the most recent estimates I've seen that, and they took in a huge amount of data to try and come up with this estimate, so it seemed fair. They're saying that there's probably about 1.3 million people currently playing WoW.
Yes, but are they enjoying it?
Well, I know some people, well, at least one person who says he's enjoying it. That's one. But then again, he just came back.
Yeah,
is he leveling a character? The early game was always good. It's getting to end game. And when you show up and they go, well, you have the option of doing dungeons, then heroics, then mythic dungeons, so that you can then raid, and then do heroic, and then mythic level raids, get all the gear, then, oh, there's a new expansion. Now grind a little bit, get up to cap, and then do it all again. This is your option. This is the game as is.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't play WoW.
I don't play WoW because they don't listen to their players.
Yeah.
And when they do, they go way to the, you know, to the far right or left, depending upon what you're looking for. Because, you know, people are going, oh, we need more raid stuff. And so all of a sudden, all their development just starts pumping out raid crap and everybody else goes lacking. Or PvP needs help, so boom, everything goes towards PvP and everybody else suffers. And then in Lich King, oh, dungeons need to be, you know, toned so that, you know, more casual people can enjoy the content. And they way overdid that. And so everybody else is complaining and nobody's getting what they want because they don't spread their people out and work on a little bit for everybody. It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And even then, their idea of giving casual people something to do is dungeons that are too easy or dailies. Yeah. Oh, and their stupid little mini games.
Well, here's one thing.
Oh, and they did recently put out world events, which Guild Wars has had from the inception.
Yeah.
And they're calling this their awesome new thing. Yay. And it's getting rave reviews. That's one of the few things that people generally like about the state of WoW now is that their world adventures or whatever they're called. Yeah. It's just, I find it funny that, oh, this is so awesome. This is amazing. Yeah. We've had it from the start 6 years ago.
Here's in a nutshell, here's what's wrong with Blizzard.
The CEOs?
Besides that. I remember years ago, back when there was a lot of push for, hey, you've got people, a lot of the story was being locked behind dungeons and especially raid. You work on this storyline, work on this storyline, work on this storyline solo till you get to end game. And then, unless you did a bunch of grinding in dungeons and raids, you were out of the story until the next expansion would come out, in which case you pick up, and it's like you did all that content, but you didn't, and continue on until you get to cap again, in which case you're then stuck. So people were like, we want to be able to experience this content solo, and we don't want to have to do pug dungeons and pug raids, because that sucks. We don't want to have to go and grind and prove ourselves in this, you know, maybe we don't have the time to join a progression raid guild and things like that. People that are casuals want to do enjoy the storyline, which most games put in a story mode version of their raids and dungeons, like Secret World Legends, that you can effectively do solo or with just a couple people. You don't need a full raid to do that dungeon or that raid or whatever. You don't have to have that. You can do the story mode version, which gives you almost no pressure. You get a little bit, but you get to experience the story, right? Seems reasonable. Not a big deal. What was their answer to it? Looking for raid system.
Mm-hmm.
Here, go pug.
But we just said we don't want pugs.
Oh, but you wanted to do the raid, right? So here, you could pug for lesser rewards.
But you're not listening to what we're asking for.
And there, in a nutshell, is Blizzard.
Uh-huh.
Ta-da! Enjoy our games.
Ta-da! Kiss my ass.
Yeah.
I stopped playing a long time ago and have not looked back.
Yeah. The last thing I bought from them was Diablo 3, and I haven't played it in months. I actually was considering uninstalling everything Blizzard.
It's not worth playing. I mean, their whole leg, or what is it called? Their yearly or 6 month or whatever it is, they do their little, yes, their seasons. But you're still grinding the same adventure over and over and over again, just so you can get that character up to a certain level where you can start doing these instances, whatever they're called.
You can do the seasonal.
How
content.
Can you do that every season? It's not that good of a story. I got bored after playing through once, and then I didn't quite make it to the level I needed to progress to the new end game stuff. So I had to start over with that.
Yeah. Because if you do a character in a season, it doesn't get to be used in the next one.
No.
Yeah.
So it's like, I gave up. It's just, yeah, you can ratchet up the difficulty. Great. That doesn't make the story any more entertaining. Yeah. You're still fighting the same stupid monsters over and over and over again. The same static events over and over and over again. The same quests.
Well, I remember, I think it was season 14. I don't remember for sure. But I was able to make a character and jump into that seasonal content. Season of Greed, they called it. And so they had all these little goblins that would show up that dropped money. There were money goblins. And then they'd try and open up a portal to pour it out.
Right, the
and
treasure
the more you hit them, the more money they dropped. And you just had to stay on them. They're running around in the middle of this massive combat. You're trying to focus on them and keep yourself alive and all that. It was kind of fun. But you know, you had two options in that. You level your character again, or you could make a character that was pop right there at the end. That was fun because I made a character that was pop right there at the end. All right, I know nothing about what's going on, but it was okay because I was up in heaven, sort of. And you had multiple, like, 7 different areas or something you could go to.
Mm-hmm.
And they were effectively dailies. Every day would be a little different. Go kill this guy. And at this one, you'd go do that one and go do this quest. Or over here, because you'd have
Blizzard
to...
Blizzard doesn't understand anything but dailies.
Yeah. But hey, it was randomized content and it would eat up people's time. Yay! I'll play Torchlight 2, thank you. Waiting for Torchlight Frontiers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
Because I want to have fun.
Anyway, you have any final thoughts on May and the bullshit news?
Set fire to Blizzard and watch them burn, because they're not worth keeping. They suck.
I'm not sure I'd be that harsh, or just, you know, I'll go play something else. Thank you very much.
I don't know. I'm just not going to spend any money on Blizzard again.
Yeah.
I mean, if they come up with something that is just mind-blowingly awesome, I might reconsider. But right now, the things they offer... Ooh, Diablo Immortal. Yay. Diablo 4, they're hinting about it. Yay. If it's anything like 3, no thank you.
All in all, lots of news in May. Hopefully it stays interesting in June, but we'll see. Anyway, till next time, I'm Squirmus.
And I'm Billis.
Eric, praise ending.
Wow, you got this far. I'm impressed. Also, if you decided to play the drinking game, please get yourself to a hospital right away. No human should ever drink that much alcohol. If you actually enjoyed this travesty of a podcast, please drop by our website at schoolme.com, which could inspire a drinking game of its own.